This is a week for bagpipes, plaid, and kilts.
Like, they're all plaid.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Does Chuck mean plaid?
The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
I thought maybe we'd talk about the Mets today.
What's going on?
I was just thinking maybe we just go like game by game, second half schedule, you know, win,
the Mets,
loss.
Who cares?
I think everyone cares. I think it's the big story today in Portland.
What else are you going to do on a Thursday in July?
Well, talk about the Open.
Well, that's true. Well, hey, Blazer Summer League today, too.
FRL, let's check the bet board.
We were close. We did not land. Land the plane.
Who'd you have?
Tyrrell Hatton. One shot off the
one
lead.
Off the lead.
The thing is, even if I had it today, it would not have been a very big pot. It's split five ways.
Yeah.
Because when there's that many tied, they cut the payout by that much. So those nice 70, 80, 90 to 1 payouts, they wouldn't be that great anyways.
Well, you can't win them all, can you?
No, you can't. But there's a lot of tournament left, and
Buckley.
We love that.
I love that too.
Yeah, you know.
Does this mean that you do second round leader and third round leader?
No, but you know what? I had a fantastic week doing the Scottish last week, playing it round by round. I was doing head to head matchups and rounds
yes.
1 through 4. Nice little weekend.
It's amazing he has time for his family or even us.
Well, does he really though? Does
I don't
these
know.
Little thumbs get busy once everyone else is asleep?
Buckley's thumbs.
I just see Buck like putting some Benadryl in his kid's sippy cup just so he can get a. Little extra. Daddy's got some odds he's got to run over. Daddy's got DraftKings to log on to. Time for bed.
Dada, I'm hungry. Yeah, well, Dada's trying to lock in a parlay.
I would pay money, and I would. I would pay a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you have, like, those little Apple things for $2.99? Or, like, Apple subscription, you know, or iCloud. I don't know. Just little things that come out of your account, and they're not big enough for you to... They're recurring, and you're like, I don't even really know what that is, but I'm sure it's great. It's not enough money to fuss over. I don't care.
Exactly.
I would do one of those subscription service monthly to let me at any time get an alert on my phone that the kids are in bed and that Buckley's thumbs are working overtime, and I can look at his draft whatever account.
See my little process.
The live.
I want to see the. Yeah. I want to watch his screens as he places his wagers. I think that I would pay for that.
I don't know why.
Not much.
I have like a. Have you ever seen Minority Report with Tom Cruise? There's like six digital screens, and it's all like he's working his hands, and it's just like Buckley's just got that Terminator red vision, and he's just stuff's just happening. He's like little here, dollar here, $2 there. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I've got the Zach Galifianakis like Beautiful Mind script floating around in my head.
How many times, by the way, does your wife have to tell you to knock it off and do something or go to bed?
No, that's what I'm telling. I mean, this is usually when everyone else is asleep and this is my own time. So it's not like she's popping up and being like, yo, put the Bovada down.
Does she even know what Bovada is?
I don't know if she knows that that's what I bet on, but I broke off a nice chunk of change after that Derby win. So she knows that we get it from somewhere.
Oh, there you go. That's all that matters. Little chunk of change, a little something, something.
I've been through this with my wife.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. It's cute that... You tell them about your big wins because it affects them.
Uh-huh.
Like money's coming in and I want you to know where it's coming from, you know? But then they oftentimes don't put two and two together about the losses. You know, like they're just like, oh, that's great. No. And then they just forget that you bet. And then if you have a bad month, they don't really pay attention, you know?
Yeah. I do a real...
It's wonderful.
And to be fair, unlike you guys have both been married for a long time. Although I've been with the BTJ for a while, I set a precedent early on. Don't ask me about my business. You just know that I've got stuff happening, and occasionally I'll get one of these. Was this a good weekend or a bad weekend? And my response is usually the same. It's fine. I like to do. I like to do a real don't ask.
Keep
don't,
it vague.
Yeah, I keep it vague. Don't worry about
fine.
It. Hey, sugar
Look,
tees, don't worry about it. Daddy's got this.
Daddy doesn't like to get too high or too low, so let's not worry about it.
Exactly.
It comes and it goes.
What they don't know won't hurt them.
That's right. Well, and it's also a long-term endeavor, like, you know,
I don't need
as easily as you win, you can lose.
Exactly. I don't need you riding a roller coaster, and like all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, this is great, but I also don't need you like bumming on me that like, hey, what's happening here? Like you're on a bit of a cold run. No, just
how can we keep losing? Why can't you pick winners?
Yeah, don't worry about
it. Right. Then you become Lucas Glover.
Exactly.
Do you remember what happened to him?
He's
a golfer.
Yeah, he's.
And his wife used to beat him when he did not play well.
Oh, that's right.
She would beat him.
Did she beat him? I thought she just berated
him. I had Glover first round leader today. He was 2 shots off the lead.
Yeah, well, he kicked her to the curb. He's playing much better. And he went to the long putter.
Yeah.
He got rid of the bitch and then went to the long putter.
Yeah.
He's doing great.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
We all have our, have our little picadillos. And I just feel gambling is just one more thing. Like, if you're sweating out a bet, the last thing you need is someone over your shoulder.
So what's going on here?
Yeah, just don't worry about it.
Why'd you bet that?
Thank you.
They're losing. Why'd you
bet interaction that? On this is very surface level. The farthest it really ever goes is I'll be watching a game, and she'll say, do you have money on this one? Yeah. And the answer is mostly yes.
Yeah. I love it, because when, like, my kids will come down or someone, no one asks me anything other than who you got. And then you just be like, I got this team over here. And you're like, and that's all you need to know.
It's mostly the question isn't even about who I got or who I'm rooting for. It's like, is there a reason that this meaningless Sunbelt basketball game is on a Saturday afternoon?
Plus, if you're sweating one out, the pressure, it's not a good idea to have interaction when you're sweating out a bet. There are certain things that I don't handle well. I don't handle them well. I know I don't handle them well. So let's just avoid those.
And that's not limited to a spouse. That can be a friend. I think we all have a friend in the group that you don't want to be around if you're sweating a bet.
Yeah.
The guy who's going to be annoying about it. Oh, did you see that? Oh, what about this? Oh, you could have been so rich.
In fact, I had a meltdown today in a McDonald's breakfast drive-thru.
You did?
I did. We had to have a discussion about it, because the BTJ knows she was there, and she knows that when I don't handle certain things well, and for whatever reason, like a public drive-through like snafu, I don't handle well, and I kind of lose it, and I don't say I yell, but it becomes a heightened situation, and then I drove off, and she just looks at me with like this level of disgust.
Who?
Like,
you're being very vague. Tell us what happened.
Well, I had to take her today to get her oil changed. So they dropped her car off. And so we were coming home. It was early in the morning. And I said, hey, do you want to stop and get like a breakfast sandwich or something? We're both up. Normally she's at work. She was working from home today. And she's like, oh, McDonald's has a new spicy like egg McMuffin. And I was like, oh, all right, well, go to McDonald's.
Ew.
Yeah. So we went through. She wanted to get an egg McMuffin. I was like, that's fine. Get an egg McMuffin. And if you use the little stupid app thing, it's like, it's so much cheaper if you use the dumb app. So I pull up there because I refuse to spend $7 on an egg McMuffin. I just won't do it.
Right. I think that's why Schulte praises McDonald's. It's all in all its glory, because if you get the app, they really reward you.
Yeah. I refuse to spend $7 on an egg McMuffin. It's not happening. But if you use the stupid app, it's like 6 cents.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. So I pull up there and I try to get out the stupid app, and it's not working. And now, like, there's a line of cars, and the lady at the damn drive-thru is like, sir, can I help you? And I'm like, just 1 second. And they're like, are you using the app? I'm like, I'm trying, and I'm trying to hit
this. They thought you should have parked it and figured it out, huh?
And I'm trying to hit it, and the lady's like, sir, and I'm like, I will get right there. And, like, it's getting heightened, and I'm not
here. Now you're panicking.
And now I'm panicking. And so I'm just ordering whatever. And she's like, I wanted the spicy McMuffin, and the spicy damn egg McMuffin isn't on the stupid app. And then the lady's like, sir, just pull forward. We can't have you in line. And she's like, I'll deal with you at the window. And then the worst thing that happened is the BTJ was, would you just give it to me? And I didn't handle that well.
Were you driving?
I was driving.
Yeah. Why isn't she doing it?
Well, because it's my phone. It was my, like, I've
you're the man.
I've worked the app.
Couldn't possibly handle that.
No. So when she said, and she's like looking over my shoulder, and I'm not happy about it. And she says, just let me do it. And I may have snapped, and I may have yelled, and then just left. I pulled around. I blew out of the drive-thru, and I drove off, and she's just looking at me, and she's just like, really? And I didn't have a defense for it. I had a meltdown over an effing egg McMuffin.
So were you, why?
Like,
what's your problem, dude?
There was lines of cars, and someone honked at me, and the damn lady at the drive-thru was giving me crap.
Well, why didn't you just pull up to the window?
I don't know, because it was a meltdown. I literally turned and yelled at the woman I love, and then, like, sped off. like went around like 8 cars and left the McDonald's parking lot in a huff.
Dude, the learned people, no!
Absolute meltdown. 100% meltdown.
Worst part, nobody got any McDonald's.
No. It was just...
So wait, why was the... Okay, here's the key question.
Yeah.
You're disparaging the app that saves you so much money, which I find interesting.
Yeah. Why can't I just order the damn food and not have it?
Because they want you to have... This is exactly why. Because they want you to have the app. You would not normally have the app. So you now have the app.
I have the app.
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay, so the spicy egg McMuffin, is that what you said?
Yeah, she wanted an egg McMuffin.
Why is that not, if it saves you so much money, why is it not on the app then?
It probably was. You just couldn't find it. And then it was just, it was
so if you pull up to her, she'll do it for you.
It was too late. At that point, I had melted down.
Man.
It was
the missteps by you.
Dude, it was the worst, it might have been the worst ordering performance of all time. And
you
the
choked.
Worst. And I did choke. And the worst part is instead of her getting mad at me, because I thought, you know, and I yelled. There was no, I was like, just, ah! And instead of her yelling back and escalating it, she just got that look of, like, disappointment. She's like, really? And I was like, oh, man.
What do I even do with you?
Yeah, it was that.
Mike Riley, I'm more disappointed than I am mad.
It was just this look of disgust. And I was like, oh, jeez. And then at that point, I'm like, I'm sorry.
Well, you got a problem with, you're kind of a mess. You got a problem with lines at Discount Tire. You got a problem with McDonald's. Like, what is happening with you?
I don't know. Technology. I think
I'm the old guy.
I think I literally yelled, why can't I just order a McMuffin from the window?
You can, but that'll be $7.
That'll be $7.
That's where they get you.
Dude, it was not a good start to my... It was not a good start to my day.
Well, perhaps that's why you don't eat at McDonald's, okay?
Let's just say
that. There's the lesson there.
Just wanted to try a spicy McMuffin. By the way, this is why she can't be involved in my gambling. Because if I can't handle a mild situation at a McDonald's drive-thru, what do you think is going to happen when I'm sweating out?
This is like you going up to the ticket window and looking up and then be like, what do you want to place your money on, sir? And you're like, which one was it? Yeah. Well, what number is my parlay again? They're like, I don't know, sir. You're the one in line. And then people are behind you and they want to make their bets.
Yeah. I got a 14 parlay. I've won 3 of them. I'm sweating it out. She doesn't. It's not going to end well. That's why it's just best to just not be involved in those sorts of situations. And apparently now I can't go through a drive-thru with her because I can't be trusted to handle the McDonald's app.
Well, the YouTube app wants to know, or the YouTube chat wants to know, how was the spicy McMuffin? You didn't get it?
No.
I left.
Are you paying attention?
Yeah, I just didn't know if there was some, I don't know, swing back through another different McDonald's, a redemption?
I can't go back to that McDonald's. That's a... It's that I think they're just
he's on the blacklist.
Yeah, that's a whole
yeah
thing.
No live betting with her looking over your shoulder, huh?
No,
you know,
no.
Got to get a hurried live bet in.
No,
can't be doing that.
Can't be doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, first Seggy. Okay, well, as I was driving in, I think I heard a man climax on the radio.
Yes, that is as close to sports climax as you ever hear.
That subject is what we will discuss next on The Fan. Pleased to have you along. The big news today broke in the 2 o'clock hour.
It was not my Egg McMuffin meltdown.
I was in my now Oregon plated Subi.
Oh, look at that. A little sad. I liked seeing the Kansas plate.
I know. It adds to the whimsy.
It did. It was a character builder.
I kept the plate.
Well, you should.
Just because.
Put that on the wall in your garage or something.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't have a garage, but I'll put it somewhere.
You don't have a garage?
No. Don't need one. No, the real controversy is that at the DMV, the National Auto Registry has it as a 2013. It's 2014.
Oh.
And it's a problem.
Late model?
DMV guy said he doesn't know what to do about that. And I said, let's not worry about it. Get me out of here. Okay.
Either way, look, it's a tasty ride, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, guys, the big news dropped at about 2:22 because I looked at my clock, and Danny was taking his pants off on the air. Take off your shorts and dunk me. And it was that Damian Lillard is returning to the Blazers.
How about that?
He's back.
Yes!
3 years and 42... million US dollars.
It's basically the mid-level exception. I mean, so, it is the mid-level exception.
He is, of course, hurt. I don't know how many people know that.
Yeah.
But he has an Achilles injury, so he's rehabbing. He does not plan to play at all.
No.
Next season.
Yeah.
So you will not see him. Well, you won't see him play. Mm-hmm. You might see him, but you won't see him play until fall of 2026.
Yeah. So it is kind of weird that it's this triumphant return, and it's crazy. I mean, it's only been 2 years. But he's back, but he's not back. He's back in spirit. And then when he does come back, I mean, who knows what this looks like, right? Is Drew Holiday still around? What sort of progress has Klingon, made? What happens with Scoot?
Will there be a new owner?
Yeah, well, there will be a new owner.
Well,
so,
but by the time he comes back, will there be a new owner?
Yeah, there is so much. Will they be playing in Seattle, according to some? Blazers. Yeah, it's such a weird thing. So that, I mean, this is awesome. Damian Lillard is my all-time favorite Portland Trail Blazer. I was bummed when he left. The circumstances in which he left, I thought were stinky. I thought the franchise didn't. I thought they did him wrong.
Stinky.
Danny was saying that apparently they've buried whatever hatchet they've had. The beef has been squashed. And
there beef?
There was beef. I think there were hard feelings.
Why, because they didn't send him to Miami?
Well, I think there was hard feelings on the part of the organization for him trying to force his way to a specific spot. I think Lillard obviously had hard feelings about what was perceived to obviously be lied to about going all in. I don't think he certainly was happy about going to Milwaukee. That's not where he wanted to be. So, remember there was that talk too, is like they wouldn't communicate with him when he was trying to reach out, there was no communication. So whatever has happened there has been squashed. And, you have the return of one of the three greatest Blazers of all time. I mean, take your pick. You got Clyde, you got Dame, you got Walt, whatever way you want to slice that. I mean, Damian Lillard represented this city as well as any athlete that has ever been here. And certainly probably for the longest time. And he didn't want to leave. So the fact that he's back, he still makes his offseason home here. His family's here. I think it's amazing. The thing I don't understand is I think the time limit is a little wonky. I don't know how that fits in. I don't know what a 36-year-old Damian Lillard coming off an Achilles tear is going to mean. I don't know if this means that there's a lack of faith in what happens with Scoot Henderson. So for the basketball side of it, I just don't know. And I don't think anyone really knows until, a year from now. And this team could look completely different by then. But from an emotional standpoint, I think from a city standpoint, I think from a feel-good standpoint, I mean, this is incredible. It absolutely is incredible.
Maybe he knows on the you were talking about how they squashed beef.
Yeah.
Maybe he knows Cronin won't be around, so he's like, yeah, sure, I'll come back. You ain't gonna be here.
I think that's pretty good guess there.
Well, yeah, because they're for sale. Look, the thing about this is it is good. There's no question. Like, there's not a lot of downside to having Damian Lillard back.
No, at a very cheap price tag.
He brings credibility to the franchise. I think there's a lot of fans who just won't watch. I mean, who haven't watched them since they traded him, and now that he's back, they will watch him. That in and of itself right there, for a franchise that's for sale,
yeah,
that is a big thing. He'll sell tickets. Mm-hmm. Revenue should go up with him. People love him. And so that, and he wanted to be back. That's another cool thing about it. So yeah. There's really, like, who cares about $42 million? I can't believe I ever said that.
Yeah.
But who cares? It doesn't matter.
Well, it's inconsequential.
So there's really no downside to having him back. It's a good move. But yeah, it's a weird move because they just got Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
So what, like, it doesn't seem like there's any plan whatsoever. They're just kind of, yeah, it's like, Lillard's available. Yeah, we'll take him. But so, wait, we already traded. We'll worry about that later.
So is the backcourt then Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard, or is it Drew?
I don't know.
You have a year to figure that out. And maybe, by the way, this is a year where Scoot put up a shut up time, and maybe Scoot's the odd man out, or maybe Drew Holiday is the odd man out. Maybe after this year, the Drew Holiday moves on to somewhere else. Who knows? I mean, the basketball stuff you have a year to figure out because Lillard doesn't factor into this. The idea that Lillard makes you some kind of contender, I don't believe that at all. But
we don't even know what he's going to be like. Like you said, at 36, coming off an Achilles.
Let's assume 75-80%.
It's just nice to have him around.
That's all I'm saying.
I just think it legitimizes the team because people love him. He is the Blazers of this last era, and having him back just kind of makes it feel like it just, I don't know, it's just, it's a feel-good. It's way more of a feel-good than it is a play good. Like, yeah. we don't know.
No one knows.
But
it ended up, like, the trade, it ended up being the most lopsided trade that you could probably come up with because, you know, when you look at what you got back, and then 2 years later you get Damian Lillard for peanuts, for pennies on the dollar. So, remember, they got Drew Holiday, which then they traded, but then got back. So you have Holiday.
What'd they get for him?
You got Kamari at, or Tamani Kamara.
Wait a minute. What'd they get for Holiday when they traded him?
What did they get? I thought Holiday was part of the, wasn't that part of the DeAndre Ayton, Tamani Kamara deal?
You tell me.
Yeah.
Trade
and
the, guy?
And you got a pick, CBA and one guy? Of those picks was led to Denny Avia. So, yeah, so you ended up from this, you ended up turning that into, that's still there, you ended up turning that into Tamani Kamara. You got Denny Avia out of that. I mean, obviously, Ayton got moved on. You got Holiday back, but that's somewhat inconsequential. And you still have a first-round pick off of it, and now you bring back Damian Lillard.
Now would you rather have Simons than Holiday? No. Now that you have, well, I guess not this year.
Not this year.
When so, Lillard comes back, would you rather have Simons than Holiday? I think you would. Yeah, would
maybe,
you?
Maybe from an age
standpoint. What are they doing?
I mean, I don't know. I guess.
Do they know?
Well, I guess the timeline is certainly sped up. Because you've got young Scoot, young Sharp, Denny's young.
Timeline
Klingon's young. The Younger's young. Everyone is really, really young. And then Holiday and Lillard are like old as dirt. So.
Well, the YouTube chat did point out that the reason Dame is back is because he's been so impressed with the Younger. He just wants to hitch his wagon.
Don't we all?
The big tariff, as we like
the
to
call it.
The big tariff. The big tariff. I love that one.
Yeah, dude. Screw Chinese Jokic, dude. That's the big tariff, man.
Hey, can I just say something about him real quick on an off tangent here?
The big tariff?
Well, yeah, the big tariff. I saw highlights. Now, yeah. I'm not watching Summer League basketball.
Yeah.
Because I have a life.
Yeah.
But I did see highlights. He does have a lot of Jokic in him. Like, some of his moves, it's like, ooh, that's Jokic-y.
Yeah.
He's crafty for a big guy.
Very.
And not especially. I mean, Jokic doesn't move quick. He just moves smartly.
This is another segment, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's probably one we don't need to have until, like, November.
Yeah.
But just from what I've seen with my expert eyes.
Yes.
Because my eyes are very important to me. If you haven't seen him yet,
yeah.
You can see what... You can see yes. why
yeah.
they're salivating over him.
Yeah, there's a lot to like.
There, yeah, there really is. He doesn't really defend and he doesn't rebound.
No, he got cooked by Queen and yeah, he doesn't rebound and
that's weird because he's 7'1".
Yeah,
but
he the way he moves and the way he passes for as big as he is,
it's pretty interesting because I think what you expect, Blazer fans probably expect to see some sort of like statue like Yao Ming.
Yeah,
or. Like Ha Sung Jin.
No, he moves well.
No, he's like he looks like yeah. Jokic when
like
he moves.
Yeah, he dives and it's funny because it's kind of clunky, but I mean he dives to the hoop and you know
he can pass.
He can pass.
Any hoosies.
Yeah.
Fan text line. Blazers backcourt went from Dame, CJ, and Ant to Dame, Scoot, and Drew. Net gain 1 inch.
Well, I'm going to that league.
That's so true.
Well, you got.
What?
You got.
Well,
Sharp.
He's been here the whole time though.
Yeah, that's well.
I don't know. What is it with small point guards in Portland?
Yeah, we love them. We collect them here.
All right. Let's come back and continue the conversation. Damian Lillard returns. Also coming up, the new highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
Oh, yeah.
We have this to discuss.
It's a lot of money.
Here's Buck. All right. The news today is that Damian Lillard's coming back to Portland. He wanted to come back and ride his jet skis.
Yeah, it sounds like Chris Haynes had it and said that like a week or two ago that Cronin and Dame met and they did indeed have to kind of bury the hatchet. There was some hard feelings there on both sides and they put it aside and focused on moving forward. So a 3-year deal. The last year is a player option. There's a no trade clause. And I think this was... this was obviously important to both of them.
Well, I think most importantly was the jet skis on the Willamette. We know our studio used to be right on the Willamette down there in South Waterfront, and we would see in the summer, right around this time of year,
yep.
We would see him and his cronies on all multicolored. They would every one of them was a different color.
Yeah,
jet skis.
out there having a grand old
wave
time.
Runner type things.
Yeah.
And they would be zooming around. Man, they were wild out there. Yeah. And you could never really tell which one was Lillard if he was even out there. But there were some dudes that were, man, they were getting wild out there. And so they'd cruise up to downtown and then they'd cruise back down to his house. It's a good life. You know, he missed that life.
Well, and you
up there in Milwaukee, you can't be doing that.
No. There's only so many butter hogs, you know, that.
Yeah.
That,
you know, that, how many butter hogs you think he slayed up there? That was a weird. Look, come on.
He didn't want to be.
How would you describe? So he requested a trade in July of 2023.
Yeah. He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hogs.
Exactly 2 years ago.
Yeah.
How would you describe these 2 years?
Because there's
well, yeah, because I mean, he's coming back. It's a legacy play.
Yeah.
It sort of rights a wrong. It was weird then that he left. You know, everything's just been weird. Like, how would you describe this 2 year hiccup in his Blazers legacy?
Messy. It didn't work when he didn't want to go to Milwaukee. He that's not where he wanted to go. Ended up in Milwaukee, and you thought, okay, he was going to go form maybe the best pick and roll combo in the NBA in Giannis and himself. And you thought Milwaukee's already won an NBA title. You added Damian Lillard to that mix. I mean, that was kind of finals or bust. And the first year there, he talked about it. He got divorced as well. So his family stayed behind. He wasn't happy. You could tell that it was affecting him. It was not a great year on the court for him. And then, come playoff time, Giannis got hurt, and thanks for coming, early exit. And then the second year felt like maybe he had settled in a little bit and was having a pretty good year. And then sure enough, come playoff time, you know, getting ready for it, down goes Dame and Milwaukee with an early exit. And so it's just, I messy, wasted, turbulent, probably maybe
disappointing,
probably the roughest time of his life. I'm guessing there was probably a lot of regret. You know, when he asked out, that was not something that he took lightly. He did not want that. He felt like his hand was forced. And that's what I said. That there clearly was hard feelings on the part of the team. And I think there was hard part on the part of Lillard. Because do you remember, we're going to go all in. It's going to hurt. And they're going to talk about building around. They didn't do any of that. So, yeah, there were hard feelings. And that's why the Chris Haynes thing of they met at Lillard's house a couple years ago. And they buried all that crap and said, how do we move forward? And I also think it's important to realize, as much as Dame wanted to win a title, this move back home cannot be about a championship. And I know Danny had the text saying, you know, hey, this team is perfect. This team is not perfect. It's just, it's not. If Lillard wanted to go get a ring, you know, Houston would have made more sense. You know, you could have gone to a place like Denver. Putting a 36-year-old Damian Lillard with a torn Achilles coming off of that, that doesn't make Portland a contender. It does it far from it. But I do think that adding a player of Lillard's caliber and stature, I think it speeds up the timeline a little bit. And I mean, Lillard before he got hurt was averaging, I think, what, 23, 24. He was having a nice year. Putting him in that backcourt, I think Portland clearly is a playoff team. I don't even think they're a play-in team. If you get another year of growth from the young guys that you have and you throw, let's say, 75 to 85% of what Lillard is, that's a playoff team. That's a top five-ish seed, 5-6 seed in the West, depending on what happens. And that's and Haynes had it that this was a big deal that he wanted to retire a Blazer. So at the end of this 3 years, I'm guessing at 38, 39 years old, that's the end of it for him, right? Tip your cap, walk away. There's not going to be a title in those 3 years. And so maybe that run at trying to win a title and not having it happen, maybe that was enough for him to say, I never should have left in the first place. And even if I never win a title, this is home. And maybe I can help the team kind of set themselves up for the future. Because if it was about winning a championship like it was when he left, Portland wouldn't be the play coming back.
Yeah, I think it was Hoops Hype that asked the question, will Damian Lillard returning to Portland be the best free agent signing in Blazers history?
Yeah.
And you laugh at that, but
it's true.
Well, I mean, there's really no other, like, okay, take Lillard out of it. Who is the best free agent signing in Trailblazers history?
God,
I mean, seriously.
Didn't Jeremy Grant sign here as a free agent? Or did they trade for him? I thought Grant signed here.
I don't know.
I think Jeremy Grant signed here.
Is that a great signing?
Look, My point, your point is well taken.
Internet says Brian Grant, Andre Miller, and Wesley Matthews as top.
Oh, Brian agents. Grant. Oh, yeah.
The Rasta Monster.
But wait. Did Brian Grant leave and come back?
No.
No? No.
Hello?
He didn't leave and come back.
Okay, so... Okay.
Are you all right?
No.
Okay.
I'm just thinking.
Hmm. So, I wanted to...
Because Brian Grant was great.
Yes.
So, who were the other two on that list?
Andre Miller and Wesley Matthews.
Yeah. Wes Matthews was good.
Miller was, but...
He had a 50-burger here. But Wes was good. Remember, that was the poison pill contract. They stole him out of...
Yeah, that was a good move because it meant more to the team.
Yeah, Utah, right?
Like, Andre Miller was a good player, good signing, but they didn't do much in those years.
That squad Brian with Grant, Wes though. Was... Well, yeah, Grant came at a different time. So, take
I can't say that... Can you really say that Damian Lillard's the best free agent signing over Brian Grant?
Yes.
Grant was awesome.
No, stop it. Damian Lillard...
You stop it.
Damian Lillard.
You don't even know if he's going to play.
He won't play this year. Dame last went before he tore the Achilles. He was playing 36 minutes a night. He was going 20. He was 25 points a game, 45% from the field and 38% from three with 7 assists. Dame was having a great year. I mean, that's not like peak 32 point average Damian Lillard, but that is big time. And if Lillard comes back and, as I said, 75, 80%, if Lillard comes back and is playing, you know, 30 minutes a night and he's giving you 19, 3, and 5,
Is that a big if?
Look, guys come back from Achilles. They're no longer the end all, the be all. Now, I will say that, like, Kevin Durant would have an easier time because Kevin Durant is 7 foot and can shoot over everybody. Lillard, players that are smaller, that rely on explosiveness and they're not great defenders to begin with. Yeah, that's a fair question. That's an absolute fair question that what sort of athleticism do you have at 36 years old with a torn Achilles? Totally fair, which is why I said you're going to get a percentage of him. I'd still like to think that you're going to get 70 to 80%. And I think that is the best free agent signing. Damian Lillard was a top 75 player of all time. He's a multiple time all NBA guy. And he was having a really nice year before he went down. But also remember in the East, it's not like Milwaukee was killing it. I think Milwaukee was like the 5 seed or something, 4 or 5 seed when he got hurt. So I'm not saying he comes in and all of a sudden makes Portland, you know, a real contender. But I do think that he comes in and immediately gives you a really nice boost. You're getting a really, really solid veteran player that I don't think you've had in free agency before here.
Someone texts, tells you all you need to know how small markets can never be good in the NBA when Portland's best free agent signing is Dame at 36 with one leg. Boy, I hate that argument that small markets can never be good in the NBA. Let me see. Hold on 1 second. Let me just think about who was just in the final. Oh, yeah. Oklahoma City, pretty small market. Indiana, small market. Denver a couple years ago won a tie. You guys have got to stop with that narrative.
Wouldn't San Antonio technically be considered a small market as well? Yes.
Like a dynasty.
Didn't they win a bunch of championships?
You're drinking the Kool-Aid. Stop with that crap. God, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah. Now I'm pissed off.
Well, I just wish. God. I wish they would have been more aggressive when they had Dame, but they weren't. And now you got him back. And I don't know. I'm just viewing.
Guys, move on.
I will not. There will be no negativity for me on this one. I just don't. There is no downside. He is dirt cheap. He is a mid-level exception. It rights or wrong, you're going to build an effing statue of the guy out in front of whatever building you're playing in at some point. He's going to get a statue here. He represented your community with class.
Statue.
Eventually, they'll build a statue. Like, who else are you building a statue of?
Yeah, it'll be him doing the wave, right?
Yes.
I was just thinking about the statue. Oh, the wave. The wave.
That's got to be it, right?
Or tapping.
He could be tapping Dame time, but I think the wave is...
But
that's good.
Lillard was every... If you could conjure up what a small market star could be to your franchise, it was Damian Lillard. And it didn't really go anywhere, but you had some amazing moments. You made a run to the Western Conference Finals, and now he's coming back to hopefully help usher this group of young Blazers, and he won't be a part of it when it comes to fruition when the growth is finished, but maybe he helps scoot that along a little bit. Well, kind of tongue in cheek there. Scoot it along. By the way, 0 and 00 on the floor together could be weird.
That's cool.
Yeah. But watching that and just when he comes back and the roar of that arena and with the sell of the team and having something you can rely on and seeing him in the community again and kind of the reuniting with his family and you know he's going to live here when it's all said and done. He'll be the new Jerome Kersey when this is done. You'll see him walking around town, right? His birthday parties here. And by the way, you're $14 million. He's the mid-level exception. I mean, my God, he is Myers Leonard salary at this point. I just do not believe in any shape or form there is one single negative thing about this signing.
You beat me to it.
Yeah. Well, hey, you did it to yourself.
I love it.
B-double-E-R.
You know what? Everyone, if you're a Lillard fan, should be cracking a B-double-E-R beer.
The first thing is it fitting that the Blazers' all-time best free agent signing is one of the all-time great Blazers that they traded away? Like, isn't that very Blazery?
It is a little bit. Yeah.
And two, I got to tell you, dude, I am enamored with the question of what Damian Lillard's statue pose should be because there are so many options here.
Yeah, I think there's only two.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
The wave and the wrist.
The wrist.
Are you thinking about the dog pile also?
You got the wave. You got this.
Oh, yeah, where he's doing the both hands
if
up.
If you can't see me, just do this. Google image famous Damian Lillard moments.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them, dude. Yeah. The wave may win. I mean, that's pretty awesome. But also just the still of that jump shot over Paul George.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yes.
Because then you could get the ball in the statue.
Yeah, which is always a cool one.
He's got a lot of them.
Build the damn statue. Just build it for him. When he comes back, rip the thing off and he's going to retire. He's got a no trade clause. He's here. It's a freaking awesome moment. And look, I know we're all emotionally dead inside here, but there's probably some people today that got a little, Danny was probably crying. Are you kidding me? He's going to go home and have a moment to himself. This is a freaking awesome moment. And I've said it a million times. This city needs wins. I love this city. I believe in this city. And too often this city gets crapped on and we get kicked in the nuts and it just, we have one step forward, two steps back. Right. And so I love when the city gets W's, and I think this is, someone explain to me how this isn't a big fat W for this city. I love it. Welcome back. Get the damn jet skis.
Somebody said skedaddle.
is he double dipping here? So he gets money from the Bucks and from the Blazers?
He gets a lot of money from the Bucks.
God. Yeah, he gets like $20 million a year for the next 5 years, right?
That's fantastic.
It's 113 spread over the remainder of the contract.
But is that less? Oh, I see. So you had 3 years left up there.
Yeah.
And they spread it out over 5 years.
I think that's right. It's like stretch provision.
So he gets all of that money.
Yes.
Plus a new $14 million a year.
Yes.
Well, I'd sign too.
I think he's making close to $70 million total between the two, but I'll double check that.
Felix Bumgarner just died.
What?
Remember him?
I do remember him.
Dead.
Ooh. Not good.
That's quite the commentary. No, it's not good. He died, dude.
Well, again, what? How did he die?
I don't know. Uh-oh. I'm reading the scroll.
Well, I mean, there's a...
I'm stunned by the death of Felix Bumgarner.
I was busy looking up total compensation.
This hurts me.
Does it really hurt you?
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
One of my favorites. I have his jersey.
You're such a yutz.
We will be back with the new highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history next on The Fan.
Yes, and Shams is confirming what I thought I read. 2025, 2026, and then 26-27. Damian Lillard between the two, Milwaukee's buyout and Portland, will have a set salary of $70 million.
Wow. That's great.
He will make, next year is actually 71. So he will make over the next 2 years, which he will hopefully play one of those. He will make $141 million.
2 years.
2 years. And then the third one is a player option, but he does have a no trade clause. So I'm assuming that he will opt into that. that deal
so,
and make another $70 million.
Career earnings to this point, you got to guess?
So effing much, it's silly.
He could be a billionaire.
Yeah. And remember, he signed a couple $100 million deal with Adidas. He was the face of Adidas for a few years. So he's worth so much money.
So how much do you think he's made?
Not including this, right?
No.
He's in, oh God, I don't know, 350 million.
Yeah, close, 328.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you add this, and they have it all on here, was that Spotrac? Or
yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Sporttrack, I think, right? Or is it
I don't know. I never know. 483 million.
Boutros,
by 2029.
Boutros Ghali.
He's made half a billion.
Well, again, he's
got... And then 200 more from Adidas.
Yeah.
So that's 700 he's brought in. You know, I mean, obviously, you know...
And all the other endorsements and
He's probably earned a billion.
It wouldn't shock me. You know, so you figure if it's 141 over the next 2 years and then he opts into that final deal, and I'm assuming that would be for the same, the 70 million, because the stretch provision just keeps going in Milwaukee. Yeah, that's 200 and whatever million he's going to make over the next 3 years. And then I'm guessing at that point...
I'll get you some new jet skis.
I do not think that jet skis are going to be a big concern.
Did he keep his house down there?
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
Well, he got divorced, so I don't know if the wife kept it or...
It's not in Laco, is it? Tualatin?
It was on the... Yeah.
Tualatin?
I think it was Tualatin. But yeah, he got divorced. So I don't know what the living situation ended up. But again... I'm guessing if he wants to come back and build something or buy something, or I think he'll be just fine. I don't think he has to penny pinch.
Here's another one.
Hey, maybe he can build his own statue. You know, kind of Portland, we don't like to like fund things. Maybe.
Yeah. If you want a statue, you're going to have to build your
own. We love the statue, but we're going to need you to pony up. As long as it's not, remember that weird Allen Iverson statue?
Yeah.
That was like Derek Zoolander sized. Can we get an appropriate sized Lillard statue?
What if, I've thought of another, or somebody texted in another Lillard statue pose.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had him the mean mug on the pile?
Yeah.
That's another one.
Yeah, you could certainly do
That'd
that.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I said that last segment. Thanks for paying attention.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry, Buckley. That's so sad.
Well, I love...
I'm so sad about that.
I love statues, and...
Thanks for contributing.
It makes me sad.
When you go to different places, the Tiger Stadium has a strong statue game. Oracle Park down in San Francisco, strong statue game. The new Red Wings Arena, strong statue game. Little Caesars out in Detroit. And it's kind of sad that we don't have a single one.
No statues. We retired jerseys right and left.
Oh, yeah.
But no statues. We just have that Rip City thing where where you're the eye.
Yeah.
And you take a photo.
Yeah, and then we have a little fountain out front.
That's about it.
Can we get some... as part of this, can Lillard donate some money? Can we get some, like, food carts or something out in front of Moda? This, like... We got that big area down there where nothing's happening. Can
There's
we throw up like a
nowhere to eat when you go to a game outside.
Can we throw up like a taco truck or something? Like
just for game day?
Well,
they're not going to stay there permanently.
No, because there's nothing else down there. But like, we're big into the food carts here.
You could have a designated area where they pull up for games at night and do big business, and then leave and go to their lunch spots the next day.
Yeah,
isn't that what's that restaurant across the way there called?
Dr. Jack's.
Yeah, but isn't it a different name?
I don't know. That place sucks.
Yeah, like, that's for.
It's like the worst. It's the worst. We all know it. It's not the worst arena in the world, but it's the worst.
It's not great.
Well, it's not good, but it's not the worst. But what's the area? What do you call the area?
What
around?
Is? I don't go to a lot of NBA arenas. What's the worst NBA arena out there? Does anybody know that?
It's a good question.
I mean, the old Oracle was pretty bad, but they just left.
Yeah, they just left. The Chase Center is pretty nice. And by the way, people that are like, I saw some people like, well, what's wrong with the Moda Center? Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. But when you go to a real like new building and then you walk around the Moda Center, you don't realize that it sucks as bad until you go to one of the new places. So when a new owner comes in, they're not going to want to play it at the old crusty building because some of the new buildings are insane. Go to Chase Center sometime. Go to Little Caesar Arena. Go to the Intuit Dome. Go to Climate Pledge.
Little Caesars, huh?
Yeah, the Little Caesars Arena
in Detroit
is awesome.
You know what's funny? Is that in a poll of players, anonymous poll of players, they voted Little Caesars the worst arena in the NBA.
You know why?
No.
It's a hockey arena.
Okay.
They
play basketball on ice?
The Illich family built it for the Red Wings, and then the Pistons use it as well. And I don't think that anyone really cares what the comfort of the Pistons. It's an amazing hockey arena. And so all the best facilities and like locker rooms, those are all for the Red Wings. And the Pistons kind of get the, you're like, eh, here are the leftovers. That's why that gets crapped
Here's
on.
Here's all 30 NBA arenas ranked worst to first.
Delta Center is probably pretty bad, but they're completely gutting it over the next like 5-6 years.
They have Madison Square Garden the worst.
Well, it's also the oldest.
Yeah, it's cool, but not. It's kind of a.
I bet you Minnesota probably gets crapped on.
New Orleans is second to last.
Well, there you go. And by the way, New Orleans is also trying to use the leverage of Adam Silver to get a new arena.
Barclays Center, Nets, third to last. Target Center, Minnesota, 27.
Yeah, that gets crapped on all the time.
Wizards, 26. Charlotte, 25. Hey, Blazers doing great so far. Orlando, 24. Houston, 23. I'm going to keep scrolling until we find our Blazers.
What year was this?
This was done last year.
Okay, look at us.
Look at us.
And this is players voting?
No. This is a different list.
Oh, okay.
Oklahoma City. I'm already on 18, dude.
Look at us. Who would have thought we'd be here? Us.
Okay. Now, it's not a top 15 arena. This is a bad ranking, but yeah. I'm just going to keep going.
No, Moda Center is not a top 15 arena.
We're at 13, and I still haven't found them.
Really? Okay, come on.
That's silly. Totally.
I'm at 10. Oh, there they are. 11.
Really?
Okay.
11th best arena.
Okay.
And this is according to who?
This is from stadiumtalk.com.
That sounds made up.
That's just silly. What exactly about Moda Center makes
They're just kind of citing, I think they're citing the fans, like the vibe.
Okay.
You know, when the Blazers are
cooking. That's fine.
And I can get that.
Yeah,
it's like a top 10 home team experience or something, but not the stadium.
There is zero chance that building, come on, is a top 10. Here's a better one. ESPN ranked them, and they have us at 20th.
Okay.
There you go.
Seems a little more fair.
It seems a little, yeah. But yeah, they do talk about the raucous atmosphere. And to be fair, they are putting, you know, they're putting a new scoreboard in there, and you know they're trying. It's a work in progress.
Oh, I have another ESPN ranking.
But whatever owner comes in is going to want a new building, which is why Adam Silver said they're going to want a new building.
Let's get the hell out of here.
I know, Don. Yeah. I'm now interested in arena rankings. I'm looking at every one of them that I can.
Well, it's funny.
I'm obsessed.
That one you had Madison Square Garden is last. This one that I'm looking at.
First. That's funny. So it's criteria.
Yeah, it's
criteria. We're talking about when it's a bad arena, we're talking about like infrastructure, amenities.
Parking, getting there, amenities, where do you eat, where do you drink, all that crap. And I would just like to point out that of any stadium and any sport that I've ever been to, the surrounding area, the footprint, it's the worst footprint of any stadium I've ever been to.
Okay, we've got NFL news, a big signing coming up next on The Fan.